Father, we are so tonight, we're so grateful. Grateful for everything that you've done for us. We're grateful, Father, for each other, what you've given us in each other. We're thankful, Father, for a place we can come together and gather with our brothers and sisters in the Lord and encourage each other and all the wonderful things that happen here at church. We're thankful for that tonight. And Father, I pray that as we get into this that you've given me tonight to share, Father, I ask you that there just be a wide door of utterance opened and that the hearts of the people be receptive to what we have to say here tonight. And we thank you, Father, your Spirit indwells us and he leads us and he guides us. And we're just counting on the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us tonight and even show us things to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Well, tonight I'm going to close up this part of a series that I've been doing for the month of January. I've been doing a series on developing healthy spiritual habits. And didn't really know what I was getting into when I started the series. I started out the first night talking about prayer and talked about seven elements. I call it the daily seven of prayer. Seven things that should be a regular part of your prayer life. And so we talked about that the first week, and then we kind of went back over that again the second week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the tapes, at least the CDs, rather, for the first week, particularly when I go through those seven things, because I don't know if it's helped you at all, but it's helped me to have, I printed those sheets out, and we've had those to refer to, and there's just been several times I've just gotten out my sheet and just used it and gone through and prayed, and it's just been a blessing to me. So the Lord gave me those, so I just... like I said, we're not making a religious practice out of it, but it's something good. Those are elements. Sometimes you forget in prayer, you forget certain things like other people, or you forget, like to consecrate or yourself to God or submit yourself to God, or the way I put it in there was to surrender yourself to God. You forget that part. Sometimes prayer just becomes a cry of desperation, and there certainly is a place of receiving from God, but there just were some things we talked about in those two Wednesday nights that I think will really help you. And I think they go really well with what Matt talked about on Sunday mornings about prayer. And then the last 2 weeks, we talked about obedience and about making a habit out of obeying God. And we really emphasizing obeying the Word. And that's where obedience to God starts, is in the Word, obeying the Word. And lots of people, in fact, as we've been reading through Acts, I've noticed again and again, there are places where supernatural things happened, but they happened because people were obedient to God. I remember when we read about Philip. Well, yeah, it was Philip. And he had a vision, and the angel told him to go down and stand on the road. Certain road, and he went down and stood on that road, and a chariot came by and had the Ethiopian eunuch in it, and he ended up sharing the gospel with the guy, and the guy got saved and baptized. And just several places in the scripture, I was thinking about Ananias that had the Lord told him, said, Paul, or Saul, the one who's been persecuting the church, he said, I have met with him and really ministered to him, but I need you to go lay hands on him because he's blind, and when you lay hands on him, the scales are going to fall off or he's going to be healed. Now I need you to do that. And Ananias was sort of arguing with the Lord, saying, look, the only thing I know about Saul is he's been causing big trouble for people like me. He is putting people like me in jail or killing people like me. And what do you mean you want me to go down and here and minister to this guy? But he chose to be obedient. And because of his obedience, really, Paul was, it launched into ministry. And that's when Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit as a result of Ananias coming and ministering to him. And it's interesting to me when it talks about that in Acts, it says Ananias was a disciple. He wasn't a prophet or an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor or a teacher or an apostle. Ananias was a disciple. So it could be any one of us that the Lord could say to us, supernaturally, he could minister to us, speak in our hearts, in a vision, in a dream, in a any kind of way. You know, the Holy Spirit bears, the way he communicates with us most is he bears witness with our spirit. But he would lead us in some way to do something that seemed a little bit out of the ordinary, and we don't know what's on the other end of that. Our obedience, on the other end of our obedience, can be something that's just really spectacular. particular, or something that has a real eternal consequence. You know, to think you were the guy that the Lord, you know, you're just a guy in just a believer, and the Lord used you to minister to the guy that ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament, and really the Lord revealing to him basically what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to be in Christ. So that'd be pretty awesome. What you think? And that was just to a disciple. So you know, there's all kinds of things God wants. I mean, that's the one thing I've seen as we've been reading Acts. God wants to use people. He wants to work through people. He wants to work through you. The thing about Acts is it's full of action. All this stuff's going on. All these things are happening. It's full of action, and it's with people, ordinary kind of people, people like you and me, not like grandiose, high and lifted up people, but like ordinary people who have like problems. God's working through them. And it really all has to do with people responding to the Holy Spirit and obeying Him. So those 2 weeks we spent talking about obedience, I think, were worthwhile. And so recommend to you, if you weren't here for those, that y'all check out those CDs, because we talked about some great stuff. But tonight we're going to move over into the last part of what I'm going to talk about in this particular series, at least. Not going to continue with this right now. And I'm going to talk about another habit. Now, when I started off the series, I was talking about habits and how we are creatures of habit. And God made us creatures of habit. He himself is a habit-keeping, habit-practicing he's a God of habits. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not sure what he eats for breakfast, but it's probably the same thing, you know, day after day. No, but you get it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way he does things, he tends to repeat himself. And we're like that too. We were created in his image and in his likeness, and we get in ruts and we stay in our ruts. Some are good ruts, some are not so good. But we're, you know, just that's part of the nature of being a person. You have a habit. And so we can have habits that are good, and we can have habits that are destructive or negative or bring harm to us. And so we're talking about in these nights, we're talking about picking or choosing or picking up, adopting habits that are going to be healthy for us spiritually. And you start the new year, and you maybe you've decided to eat more fruits and vegetables. Any of y'all ever tried to adopt that habit? Nobody? 3 people? 17? Okay. 21? Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, because lots of people, they live all day, eat every meal, and they count up all their fruits and vegetables, and they just count French fries, and that was their big vegetable for the day. But eating fruits, yeah. Red meat and potatoes, huh? You know, but fruits and vegetables are good for you. You know, I just was reading today. If you eat 8 fruits and vegetables a day, over people that only eat 4 fruits and vegetables a day, you lower your risk of cancer like 30%. Did you hear that, Matt? It was astronomical. So I just happen to be a person who loves fruits and vegetables, but so I was just, you know, trying to get you to adopt that habit. But anyway, the reality is there's all kinds of habits you can have, and habits that are good, some not so good. But spiritual habits, some people have lousy spiritual habits. Some people, their habit is to go from crisis to crisis. And, you know, their relationship with God's roller coastery, and it's, you know, when they're in a rough spot, they get close to God. When things are going good, they draw back from God. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about that. The Bible makes a lot of warnings to people who are doing well. The Bible talks about it in the sense of the distractions that come up, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things that enter in. Those things can become distractions in your life and can cause you to, you know, lose your way, so to speak, lose the pathway that you're on with God. Being distracted comes from not having healthy spiritual habits. Being caught away in the lust of other things, that's a sign you don't have good spiritual habits. And so that's what we've been talking about, is adopting good spiritual habits. I don't know if you've ever thought about, what are my spiritual habits? But well, maybe right now is a good time for you to think about that. What are my spiritual habits? Do I have any? What do I habitually do concerning developing myself spiritually? What do I habitually do and practice when it comes to spiritual things. Do I pray regularly? When do I do it? How often do I do it? In the month of January, you remember in these four sessions that Pastor Matt talked about prayer, he challenged us. Just pray 1 minute more a day than you have been praying. For some people, that meant they were going to pray a minute a day. But that's good. Start somewhere and pray, you know. And just a focus on that's a really healthy spiritual habit. And so many good things come out of that. I think that's probably, if you want to focus on one, that so many things come out of that, a healthy prayer life. So, lots of things in your life can get straightened up right there. And then being obedient, particularly being obedient to the Word. And all obedience to God starts with obeying the Word. Last week we really talked about doing the Word. And I personally got a lot out of that last week because it answered some questions I've had for a long time about why people progress at different rates and what makes somebody that gets saved and they just seem like they just sputter along and they hardly ever get anywhere spiritually and other people just sort of take off. And it's the biggest difference is people who do and people who just hear but don't ever do. Maybe they hear some and they do a little bit. People that hear and do, those people, there's something. They take flight spiritually. So there's some real good principles there. Now tonight, we're going to, if you will, open your Bible to Acts chapter 2. I just have several scriptures I'm going to share with you. And you see my notes here. I kind of just jotted them down. Not my usual thing, but I just did the jot down method tonight. Acts chapter 2, I want to read to you something here, because really, this is the scripture I'm about to read really came alive to us about 6 years ago, I think. We were in a time in the life of our church where we were really seeking God about some changes that He was dealing with us about making, and lots of things were happening in us, and this scripture really got in our hearts, and we started seeing things and what a church was about in a whole different way than we ever had before. And so I just want to read it to you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. I'll just read in 41, but 42 is the verse we're going to focus on. It said, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." It's talking about Peter's words. And then verse 42 says, "And they," those that were, those 3,000 souls and those who were there present on the day of Pentecost, "they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," or in the apostles' teaching, "and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And right here, there's some things I want us to see. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Now, what we really came to see several years ago was that the church needs to have all these elements. We need fellowship. We need the teaching. We need breaking of bread, and we need prayers, times of praying together. But tonight, the habit that I'm going to encourage you to examine and then perhaps adopt in your life is the habit of meeting together with other believers, the habit of attending church regularly, the habit of assembling together with others of like precious faith, that habit. And we're going to just talk a little bit about what that'll do in your life. But you see here where they continued steadfastly. So they continued, that's something, this sounds like a habit. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, there's some things that happen in our lives when we continue steadfastly in coming together as a church. Now, to be honest with you, there were years of our lives. See, I didn't grow up going to church. I grew up in a house where we were a strong Christian family, but we didn't attend church. There was a stint when I was 4 or 5 where we went to church. And then there was a stint when I was in junior high, so I was about 12 or 13 and we went to church. But that was all the experience I had with church. And then Matt, on the other hand, he grew up in church. He was at church every Sunday. But he went to church and he wasn't even saved. So isn't that interesting? I didn't go to church, but I was saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Bible and scripture and all was very important in my life. With Matt, he wasn't saved, but he went to church every Sunday. Isn't that interesting? But there we were. So neither one of us really had the experience that the Bible teaches and the Bible, you know, the one I'm encouraging you to have tonight. But, so we really had to learn a lot about church when we started one. We had to learn a lot about church. Right? If we started one, then we're like, what is this? But we actually had an experience when we, back in the early 90s, after we married, we began to go to church. Well, actually, we'd been attending church while we were in college, and then when we got married. But once we were married, we started going to church and attending church regularly. And we got involved. We went to one church where, you know, if you could look in your life and say that God directed you to do something, sometimes you say maybe he did, maybe he didn't, maybe it was just me. But I could say for sure this is a time in my life where God directed me to go to church, where he showed me to where to go. And so show up at this church, and I knew that Matt and I both knew God sent us there. And I tell you, when we went, we just went hog wild. We went on Sunday morning. We went on Sunday night. We went on Wednesday night. We were back for Sunday school. We were back for church Sunday morning. We were there Sunday. Anything they asked us to do, whether we'd ever done it, whether we knew how to do it, whatever, we were Johnny on the spot. Here we are. Let's do it. And so we just got super involved. And I tell you, that one thing, if I had to look at anything and say, what one thing can I identify that really propelled us into ministry, it was just simply going to church. And I can confidently say to you today, we wouldn't be pastoring had we not started out by just diving headlong into going to church like we did at that time. That got us somehow or another going, and I'll show you here in a little bit how it worked, but going to church, really, that we had, it wasn't like we weren't Christians. We were Christians. We walked with God. We prayed. We believed God. We tithed. We fellowshiped with other believers. But something about when we got hooked up in a local church body and we started participating and all the things that happened there, it just propelled us. And it was amazing what happened in our lives as a result of that. Now, it's here in the book of Acts. This is the very beginning of the church. You know, you just heard Matt say, and we're in Acts 29 church. Well, we're talking about the very beginning of the church. There really wasn't even a church at this point. But the way they began to be a church was they started meeting together and coming together, first of all, for the apostles' teaching and for fellowship, breaking of bread, which can refer to the communion table, the Lord's Supper, and praying together. So these were the purposes for which they came together as a church. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter 10. This is a verse that's familiar to a lot of us. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good gifts. I mean, and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, that's talking about our interaction with each other. This is part of the fellowship that we have. You know, when I'm fellowshipping with Bonnie, Bonnie's fellowshipping with me, one of the things that should be happening in that is that we would be stirring each other up to good works. We would be stirring up love in each other. We'd be encouraging each other. We'd be exhorting each other. We'd be pulling for each other. We'd be standing for each other. We'd be, you know, we're in this together. I got your back. You know, I don't know what's going on with you out there when you're in the to and fro of life, but I, you know, I'm for you. And that's part of our fellowshipping together. But then it goes on down in verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because you can, as a believer, forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But not forsaking, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of his return approaching. So this is an admonition here. from the writer of Hebrews, that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Some people do. I was in that category, you know, like I said, for a large part of my life. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, there is some benefit for us in getting together. There is some benefit besides that we get a gold star on the attendance tracking records in heaven. There's some other, because we don't get that, because there isn't any. But like I've said thousands of times, God's not handing out gold stars because we come to church. Coming to church is for us. It's for other people too. But it's you know, start out, it's for you. And it was something about when we come together, it benefits us. And there is, to have that habit, I don't think we really appreciate what it means to have a church family people that we can be with together on a regular ongoing basis. And that just reminds me that in the last couple of weeks, we've heard from somebody that was in attendance of this church, was a person who their habit was to show up at church every time the doors were open, and they were part of our church for several years. And then their job was transferred to another state, and they've been in another state, and they've been there for several years now. And they sent out, it was like they shot up the flare gun. They sent out a cry of desperation. They said, I've never been able to plug into a church here like what we had at Good News Church. And, you know, just started listing and telling all the things that had happened in their lives and the frustration and just the weakness and the desperation in their lives as a result of not being able to be assemble together with people of like precious faith. And I just thought, my goodness, we just take it so for granted what we have in each other. It's pretty sad. But, you know, in this day and age, even more so, we need each other. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 1. A couple of things I want you to see here. Romans 1. And this is Paul writing. He's writing to the church at Rome, and he says something interesting to them here in Romans chapter 1. You know, Paul was an apostle. He wasn't a pastor. He did start churches and sort of pastored them along, but he was more of an apostle. Apostle means sent one, and he was sent from city to city, place to place, region to region, and he would raise up local churches and install pastors in them. But he, you know, he operated as a pastor of pastors, and he was sort of, you know, overseeing many churches. You could say that was his role. And he was overseeing, one of the places he was overseeing a church or churches was in Rome. And he would go and he would visit these churches. And of course, then they didn't have transport like we do now. You know, to get from place to place could take a long time, big journey. You know, and when you got somewhere, you usually stayed for a while because, you know, it took you a long time to get there. And so he wasn't able to get to all the churches real regularly. But it says here, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, I tell you, that would be a good church to be. You know, talk about being an Acts 29 church. What about being a Romans 1, 8 church? That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Boy, that's pretty good. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, the one thing that, you know, Matt talked about this Sunday before last, the one thing we see that Paul did is he prayed for those who were under his realm of influence. He prayed and made supplication for the churches and the people at the churches. And then he says, making request if, now this is interesting what he prayed, making request if by some means, if somehow, some way, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So he wanted to come see him, and he was praying, God, make a way somehow or another that I can get here to the church at Rome. I need to go down there. I need to see them. I want to see them. And he's just continually, without ceasing, praying that he would get there to see him. Why is that? Well, he tells us in verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Now, this is interesting. He longed to see them so that he could impart some spiritual gift to them so they could be established. So let's just talk about that for a minute. First of all, why, you know, we know this, there's no time, there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. Why can't he just, he's praying for them, why can't he just pray that God would impart whatever it is he wanted imparted to them wherever they were? I mean, he's certainly praying for them. He says he's praying for them without ceasing. So couldn't he just pray and whatever it is that's in his heart, God could just take care of it down there at Rome and that'd save him a trip? Isn't that interesting? He's not praying that God would impart the gift. He's praying that God would make a way for him to go there to them because he knows that there's something in him, something he has for them, something that'll happen when they're there. And it's interesting. For I long to see you. Some translations say, for I long to see your face. There's something about being face to face. You know, thank God for email. Thank God for letters. Thank God for, you know, that we can hook up little cameras and see each other on our screens and talk. But there's something about being face to face. I'm sure if you asked Dwayne Cassidy tonight, he could tell you there's something about being face to face. Because tonight Dwayne Cassidy's in Iraq and his family's here in Augusta. And he'd rather be here in Augusta. Something about being here face to face. Well, Paul said here, writing, he said, for I long to see you. I want to see your face. I want to look at you. I want you to look at me. I want to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. That's interesting. Now, when he's talking here about a spiritual gift, he doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to give them, you know, a gift that then belongs to them. He's talking about, I want to minister something to you. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me and give you something through me. There's something in me I know that's in me for you, and I want to be able to impart that to you. And that's so interesting. It's the longing of his heart so much that he's praying and you know, working through this in prayer that God would open a way, make a way for him to go and impart this to him, to these people, that he could be a blessing to them, minister to them, help them, strengthen them, empower them. So this is the prayer. Tom Tiller, isn't it good to see you on a Wednesday night? Isn't that good? Praise God. God's made a way for you to be here instead of being in Atlanta, GA. How about that? Praise God. But it was the longing of his heart, of Paul's heart, that he would be able to go and impart this. I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. There's been many times in the life of our ministry and church where there were people I would just pray for them. I wouldn't see them for a long time, and there's something about being in an environment where there's others and there's church service going on and ministry where something could happen there that couldn't happen if I just talked to them on the phone. That couldn't happen if I just dropped over by to see them. Something about being in that environment, it would enable something that God had put in me for them to come and flow. And so he's saying here, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Now here's the other part. So that you may be established. Now that's interesting. Because like I said, I mean, some Christians live the roller coaster life. You know, up, down, all round about. Here comes a curve. Woo! You know, that's how it is. It's going great. It ain't so great. And some people, you know, they show up when the times are good, and then when the times are bad, they don't show up, or maybe vice versa. But Paul said that there's something in him for these people at Rome that would enable them to be established. Now, was it because Paul was so charismatic? Was it because Paul was such a big intellect? No, it was because God puts things in ministers, particularly he puts things in them for other people. And I'm going to read you a scripture about that in a minute. But did you know there's things in me for you? There's things in Matt for you. And not only that, this may shock you. There's things in you for other people that are sitting in this room and other people in this church. God puts things in us. Somehow or another, that's the way he made us work together. There are things in us for each other. And particularly, I got chapter and verse on that there's things in me, things in me, for you. And something about when we show up here and we assemble together and we're continuing in the teaching, in the doctrine, these things are transferred and there's room made in an environment like this where things can be imparted. Now, back in June, we started on Sunday nights, one Sunday night a month, we started having Powerful Living meetings. Now, the reason we started having those meetings was because we knew in our hearts that there were things that needed to be imparted to people. And there really wasn't a time focused on that type of ministry that happens on those Powerful Living meetings. And so the Lord directed us to do that. We had that first meeting in June. It was amazing to me, that first meeting in June, all the things that happened. It was almost like a bunch of stuff had gotten stacked up. And it was just all that first, you know. It's like, wow, we've been just saving all this up to distribute it. Lots of things got imparted. And lots of things have happened just as a result of those meetings. But, you know, if you don't come, you don't get it. I have never been led in any kind of meeting that we had where I had something for somebody to, and they weren't there, then I go home and write them an email and give it to them. It's something about the time of that being there at that time, at that place. And that's just the way the things of the Spirit work. They just... there's a connection that's made. And so, you know, I can't explain all of that. I don't know every work. I just, it's like me driving the car. I know how to drive the car. I don't know how it all works exactly, but I know how to drive it. And that's how it is when it comes to lots of times, these things of the Spirit. I know how to function and operate in them, but I can't explain every little jot and tittle about it. But I do know this, there's something that's in me for you. There's something in Matt for you. There's something in other people for you in this church. If this is your church. And if this isn't your church, then you need to jump up and run out the door and go find your church. Because somewhere, someplace, you should be assembling together with people that are of like precious faith, people that God has something in them. And, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so you should be being... You know, you should have a voice that you're, that can speak into your life. Well, I'm talking about habits tonight. I'm talking about spiritual habits. And one very important, very critical spiritual habit is that you don't neglect assembling together with other believers. That you don't neglect something as simple as just coming to church. Now, this is interesting, how it can become a habit in your life. This is interesting. 4 weeks from tonight is Maddie Sue's 18th birthday. So I was asking her today, I said, well, what do you want to do for your birthday? You know, it's on a Wednesday night and all. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, you want to just skip church? I said, me and you can just skip church and we can just have a big blowout night. And I'm saying this like half kidding, you know. And when I said that, she looked at me. She says, I'm not a skipper. Like, she got like miffed at me. I'm like, you're not a skipper? When is the last time I skipped church? I'm like, I don't know, Maddie. I don't keep up with your church attendance. And she's like, I have not missed church in over 4 years unless I was out of town. And I'm like, you're a little religious about this, don't you think? You're just a little self-righteous here. But it was just so funny to see that response. I'm not a skipper. It just was funny because I was saying, why don't you skip? I'm not a skipper. But the point there is it can become a habit in your life so much that it just would seem really weird. You know, you just feel like you were missing out on something to not be showing up for whatever reason. And it's just amazing what happens over time as you come to church. I look at it like, have any of y'all ever had like a Christmas club through your job where they deduct money like $10 a week or whatever it is and they put it in an account somewhere and you get it at the end of the year or maybe for retirement or, you know, we have a plan here where they take money out of our check every month for a certain purpose. And so, you know, it's just could be just a little amount. But over time, you go, wow, look at that. At the time, you hardly miss it. You know, it doesn't seem like much. But over time, something happens and it just sort of piles up. And that's kind of how it is with church attendance. You know, you come Sunday morning, come to School for Life, you come in service. You know, it may not be earth-shaking. You might not walk out and think, oh, God just revealed himself in the biggest way. But then you just come back the next time and, you know, you just sit and you glean and you go and you come back. And it's really just like making those deposits that may not seem like a whole lot, but over time they add up. But now here's the interesting thing that I've noticed. Whenever you have like a Christmas club and you decide, well, I'm not going to make a contribution this month. You know, maybe in your 401k, you decide, I'm not going to, you know, put my money in. I'm going to sit this year out. At the end of the year, if you've sat it out, at the end of the year, you also notice there, it's not there. When you need it, it's not there. See? And that's how it is. You might not need it today. It might not be that you have this desperation. But the day's coming when you're going to face a desperate moment. It comes for all of us. We all have desperate moments. We all have moments where we're, by that I mean, we all have things that come out of nowhere seemingly. And just like, what's going on with that? You know, just being plain with you. You know, we've had a very weird situation going on in our family. Our youngest son has been throwing up every day for 3 weeks. He goes to school, and they call me up and say, your son just threw up 5 times. I'm like, he is back in class now, isn't he? You didn't let him out of class for that, did you? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, that's just not normal for a 9-year-old kid. What's going on here? I wasn't planning on that. You know what? What is that about? We all have things we have to deal with. You know, I told you the Sunday before last, one day I just find out I had a $1,700 bill I didn't know I had. That's what I did, Terry. Oh, that's interesting. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, we all have things that come up. But, you know, when something comes up, you want to have somewhere you can go to get something. You want to have, this is a good way to put it, you want to have a little margin. Yeah. Do y'all know what margins are? You know, the margin is the white part around the edge where you wrote, you know, in the middle, and the white part around there. We all need some margin in our lives. You need margin in every area of your life. You need a little extra room. You need a little extra in the bank. You need a little extra time. You need a little extra margin in your health. You need a little extra margin in time. You need a little extra. You need some spiritual margin. You need to have some extra, not where you're just depleted all your reserves. You need some extra. Well, the best way to have margin is to own purpose all the time, you know, be accumulating a little extra here. And we're talking about accumulating a little extra strength spiritually, a little extra power spiritually, a little extra word, hearing the word. You don't want to be depleted. You don't want to be in a place where you're in a deficit and now you got a call. You want extra. Well, the best way to do that is to just make it a habit to show up and assemble with other believers. You're just accumulating. And it works for all of us. It's like that for all of us. But I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself. Turn over to Ephesians 4, and then I'll get back to some of that I was talking about. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 is what I was just referring to here. And he himself, speaking of Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gave these gifts not because, you know, it makes people special, not because these people who are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, so they can, you know, think more highly of themselves or something. The whole purpose for which he gave these gifts and put them into people is for the equipping of the saints. That's you. He gave these gifts for you, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up or the charging up of the body of Christ. And goes down and kind of talks about how it all works out. But these gifts, that's why I say there's something in me for you. These gifts are there for other people. And so whenever we assemble together, we're tapping into those gifts. We're making room or making a place where those gifts can operate, where the teaching, where the prophetic, where the evangelist, where the apostle, where all the pastors, all those things can flow. Now, it says here for the equipping of the saints, and that word equipping is a very interesting word. Equipping means to be prepared. You know, equipping means to give you what you need. Equipping refers to training. It refers to teaching. But one of the meanings of this word equipping is that things would be set in order. So one thing that you can expect to happen when you show up is that things in your life would be set in order. Paul talked about, I want you to be established. Well, part of being established is getting things in order, that things in your life would be set in order. Now, does that mean that we sit down and we go through this list and I say, Bryn, you know, what's going on over here in this area? Well, you really need to straighten that out. And what about this over here? Okay, Bryn, this is a good thing. No, it's talking about in a group environment when the ministry of the word's going forth and the gifts that God's put in us are operating, that he will use that to set in order things in your life. Part of the setting in order really is like if you have a bone that's out of place and it needs to be popped back into place. That happens in this kind of environment, spiritually speaking. And it also means that you would be set in order in the body as a whole. All of that happens. So that's what happened to me and Matt. We started going to church and we started being equipped for what it is that God had called us to do. And so in that, we started to be set in place in the local body. And like I said, what happened is basically they asked us to do something and we started doing it and they asked us to do something else. And it's funny how that is. If you get asked to do something in a church and you do it faithfully, you do it with a good attitude and you do it with a heart to help other people, you'll soon be asked to do something else. And so we would just keep getting at whatever we were asked to do, we'd be in there doing it, you know. Not knowing at all, having no idea that that would eventually lead to us teaching classes that eventually led to us the very beginnings of Good News Church. Had no clue that that's where we were going when we started running the tape ministry. This is before there were CDs and we were making cassette tapes. And that's what we had no idea that that was where it was going. Now, I tell you, people miss this so much. In fact, I have a friend right now has just a longing and has a call from God for ministry, has not the foggiest notion how to get into the ministry. Been to Bible school, been through all the things that you, but where, how do you get into the ministry? Well, I tell you how you get into ministry. Where I have seen again and 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 again people get into ministry through the local church. You know, Ed Dufresne was here last fall. He's going to be, by the way, Ed Dufresne's coming again in April 15th and 16th. He's going to be here with us. But Ed Dufresne got saved and he started going to church and he started again. He was the janitor for the church. And then he, whatever they would ask him to do, he would do it. He ended up being a general contractor, took a year off, didn't work in employment anywhere. Full time he spent being general contractor for the church, building a building, just gave of his time for that. And when that time came to the end, God launched him out into ministry. It was done, you know, it was really supernatural how the whole thing happened. But it all happened through the local church. But there's people right now in Augusta, Georgia, sitting home tonight, not part of any church, not part of any fellowship, and they know they have a call from God on their life for a full-time ministry, and they want so much to be in it, but they don't have any idea how. You know, when you're faithful over little things, God makes you ruler over much. You got to be faithful somewhere. And it's amazing, you know, I'm just saying in the time when we were participating in a local church, just, you know, the least there, how, you know, you'd have something you're doing. You were on the rotation for, you know, whatever it is, cleaning the church, whatever it is you were on the rotation for. And, you know, that was big to us. We showing up, we're doing it. We're on the rotation for that. We're there. You know, we're not just like, oh, yeah, I forgot that or, you know, just whatever. You know, I remember Matt was an usher, and he was just like a little extra guy usher on the side, like not really an usher, but kind of, if they needed him. And I mean, it was about 3 weeks he served like that, and then he's one of the main ushers. Because the other ushers, they wouldn't show up. They'd get there halfway through the service or whatever. There was no real commitment. It's interesting, none of those people, a lot of those people had aspirations for ministry. None of them that I know of are in ministry. It's amazing how you can be set in order just by coming and partaking and being serious, showing up like Matt's taught us, have a good attitude, be on time, show up, Work hard. Yeah, I forgot that one. Working hard. All those things. It's just, it's interesting. And I know, you're sitting here going, it's Wednesday night. I'm in here. You got to give me something better than this, Susie. But I'm telling you, these are just the basics of life. This is a habit. And I know at some time or another, probably all of us have had these habits, but we let things slip in our lives. But I'm just telling you, it's the things that work are the things that work. And I'd like to say that the way that you get from, here to where it is you want to go is one night, an angel will appear to you and you'll be supernaturally promoted into this great position of influence. But it's just not scriptural. Not going to be happening. The first evangelist in the scripture, he started out, he was a waiter waiting tables. He served on the hospitality team. And he became the first evangelist. So, there's something about this whole thing of setting in order. And it says here, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And we all have different parts in the work of the ministry. We all have general work in the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to be, to do the work of the ministry in the sense of the believer's ministry. That's Mark 16. But there's specific assignments that God has for you. Whatever ministry He has you in, whatever it is. As you cut people's hair, as you nurse babies, as you, wait on people in a retail store, whatever it is that you do, there is in that somewhere, some place, there is a work of ministry for you, and the place you get that set in order is in a local church and through the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now, wanted to get into all that. Now let's talk about some other things. Just now it's the free-for-all time. Whenever you make this a habit, what are some of the things that happen in your life? Well, first of all, I just talked about it. You get equipped. And so I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time there on this whole getting equipped thing, but I would like to point this out. Things happen in an environment. Things happen in our when you just keep showing up over and over, like I said, you might not have an earth-shattering moment every time you come to church, but you just keep showing up. God deals with you personally, and then you come to church, and He works through us, and He works through other believers, and works through the messages, and all those things work together. And, I was just thinking this afternoon, about Eric Netzler, and I was thinking about how Eric's been in the church since the church started. His parents were part of the original group of people that started the church, and he's just a kid, just a little kid. And he was like Maddie Sue, he wasn't a skipper. And so he'd come, every time. He'd be at church and eventually, he would help his mom out in the kids club. And then one day he shows up and starts taking guitar lessons and he's playing the bass. And then Nate comes along and he gets hooked up with Nate and he starts helping Nate out in the youth. I just start seeing all these things, I mean, basically, if y'all don't know this, the youth run this church. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed that, but they pretty much run the church. I've never seen a church that had so many youth running the church like we do. But I mean, you look around, what all's happening, It's amazing. We couldn't make it. Y'all can all skip, but you got to bring your kids because we can't. We can't function without them. I'm serious. So they got to be here. But anyway, so that's where he was. He was doing this, and then he's searching. What's God's plan for me? Who am I? What does God want me to do? Blah 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 blah. And he comes, and I just remember that powerful living meeting, that first one in June. He comes, and that's when I saw him. I had him come up, and I just said, Eric, I see you standing on the side of the pool. You keep sticking your toe in and out. You just need to jump in. And, and he's told me later that it didn't mean one blooming thing to me. So I don't think he uses the word blooming, but he, you know what I meant. He didn't mean a thing to me. It was nice. He respects me, Thank you, Pastor Susie. But, it didn't really impact him until weeks later when his mom says to him, Pastor Matt called and they got an opportunity for an internship out in Plano, Texas. And suddenly it all just hit him all at once, But I just think about that. If he hadn't been, and so tonight, Eric's not here with us. Eric is in Plano, Texas, and he's working in a ministry of a very large church out there. He just, last Wednesday night, he preached his first message out on the road. I mean, how is all this happening? He's getting ready to make a commitment for a second year out there. I mean, he's on a path here. He's going to be in full-time ministry before long. Now, how did all that happen? It really came as a result of he just wasn't a skipper. You know, it was just one thing and then another thing and then another thing and then another thing. Not all one big moment, but God just working in him and working through and, you know, just whenever he was needed, just setting him in place, just preparing him along. It's not that hard. I'm telling you. I'm standing here talking to you tonight. It couldn't be too hard. I mean, think about it. Do y'all ever see people and you think, well, if they can do it, it couldn't be too difficult. Let me be an example for you. It couldn't be too hard. I'm doing it. But it's just, you know, you just make that decision. Just put one foot in front of the other. You know? Just like they sang, I think that's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Put one foot in front of the other. You've heard that. And soon you'll be walking across the floor. Yeah, you can tell we had four little kids. And then you'll be walking out the door. And so that's just how it is. Just one step and then another. But if you you can sit and think, oh, I'll make the big step. But I'm going to tell you, life is not big steps. Life's a whole lot of little steps. How many of you have a high school diploma? Well, you got that all in one day, right? Oh, Gary, you're a good example. Gary, in just a few months, they're going to finally certify him as somebody who can look at us in our nooks and crannies. He can legally look at you naked and you don't have to feel bad about it. I'm sorry. He's been looking at us illegally, maybe. No. Anyway, Gary's a doctor in the making. But Gary, like, did that just happen in one day? You know, you just have to, like, get up every morning and keep going. Let me ask you, were there some days you just didn't want to go, Gary? Classes you just wanted to skip? Times you didn't want to read? Sure. That's how church is, too. How many of you ever have days you just don't want to come to church? I mean, I'm telling you, just about every Wednesday I call Matt and say, Matt, you got a message for tonight? I'm staying home. But somehow or another, I'm not a skipper. I just get myself together and come over here. And I'm going to tell you, I know it'll benefit you because it benefits me. Saturday before last, we get a phone call from a very dear friend of ours. Our very dear friend is in critical condition near death. And they're in a place we can't get to them. They're in another part of the world. And I mean, it just hit us like a ton of bricks. I just cried all day long. I didn't sleep. We stayed up till way, way into the night. All night long, just laid in the bed and tossed and turned. It was terrible. It was heartbreaking. And because of the situation, what's going on, it's just awful. And there we are. Now I got to get up and come to church. Got to come over here and talk to all of you when you think you got problems. And I just, you know, I didn't want to come. I didn't feel good. My eyes are all puffy from crying and just. Better come to church. We have school for life. School for life. Who wants to go to that? So come in here. And that was the day we met in here last Sunday. Not this past one, but the one before. And Nate was doing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, how to minister to people with that. So I'm sitting over here, right here. And when Nate gets up, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Has nothing to do with what I'm dealing with, what I've been through, nothing. But just when he's reading the scriptures, something about, and these scriptures had nothing to do with what I was dealing with. I tell you, it was just like a warm, just a ointment, just a balm over. I just started feeling better. And then we went to the part where we get up and we, you know, role play and we practice. And so I looked around and I found me Pat Lee. And we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I saw Pat and Mike were together and they know each other too well. That's mom and son. And so I said, they can't be partners together. You have to get somebody you don't know well. So I snatched her from him and I drug her over here. And we got talking and I'm going through the thing and I realized she's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so we sit there, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit last Sunday morning. Sunday morning was a week ago, just sitting right over here. Thank you, of course. She had these little tears. She was praying so sweet and all. I'm telling you, every bit of the trouble that I was having was gone. And I was just high as a kite. And then we went in the back, put on my microphone. We came back out here, you know, for service. And I'm here, and we get in here, and we're singing. You know, and I got to be honest with you. I know some people don't like the music we have in our church. I'm going to tell you something. I like funky music. I don't like it when people play guitars and all that stuff. The only guitar I like is the bass. I like brass instruments. And I like it when they play those things right there. I'm not sure what they are, but that thing. You know, and Nate knows. I tell him, Nate, I want something we can dance to, man. You know, Nate can't do that stuff. God, bring us some funky musicians. Some people that's got some soul that can sing. But anyway, so I'm in here, but and we're singing about the blood. And we're singing, Jesus' blood, which was so funny to me because it was Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, blood. It wasn't any possessive, so it was like Jesus' blood. And I think that's really funny because it should have a possessive somewhere because it was like his blood. But anyway, so all this stuff's going on. I mean, this stuff goes on with me like it does you. You sitting there going, what's up with this? I'm sitting here going, except it's worse for me because somehow in all that I'm responsible. How is this up here? What are we doing here? And we're just, you know, and Nate has this thing where we'll just be like, we're just worshiping, and all of a sudden, there is power, wonder, you know, and I'm like, where did that come from? You know, we were just right here, and he jerked us over here. You know, I'm just like, you know, but somewhere I'm telling you and all of that, it was like fire from heaven came all over me. I almost knocked Matt out of the way and say, I'm preaching today. We preaching the gospel today. We having a gospel service. We going to sing, I Know It Was the Blood, and we going to just march or do something. I was just ready. But you got to understand, 2 hours before, I ain't getting out of bed. I ain't going over there. Tragedy is struck, and life is bad, and we ain't doing that today. You go do what you got to do, Matt. I'm going to be here, and I'm a waller. But I'm telling you, it totally, completely changed what was happening to me. And you know, you don't realize that. And we say that all the time. This is the days you don't want to come, that you got to come, that you really need to come. I know it from personal experience. You don't know how many times I've been to church where I was sick. I used to, when I was pregnant, I threw up. I'd be riding down the road, got the car window down, throwing up out the window, but I can't stop. I don't have time. I got to get to church and preach. But that was, you know, that's been a while now. That's kind of weird. When you know, not because I was nervous, because I was nauseous from the baby. But here you are. You come to church sick, hurting. Sunday morning, I was teaching school. From my back hurt so bad, but somewhere in all of it, the power of God comes on you. I don't know how many times I've been to church with something wrong with me, and I leave healed. Not because anybody laid hands on me, but just the power of God. Where two or three get together, He's in our midst. And He can't get in our midst without Him getting in us and on us. And He just rubs Himself all over us. And when He rubs Himself on us, good things happen. Peace will come. You'll get some answers you didn't have. You get stirred up. You get slapped around. Whatever it is, it all happens as we get together. It's what happens. You know, I mentioned just a minute ago about Grayson and his, I mean, you got your kid thrown up. The teachers and the people at school are really up. They're like, I don't think you understand, Mrs. Judd. He's just thrown up five times. And you're saying send him back to class. I'm like, well, if I come get him, he's going to get in the car and say, what can I eat? So he might as well stay there. You know, this is your kid. You're concerned about him. But, you know, the weirdest thing happened with this whole situation with Grayson. The weirdest thing happened. At the last Powerful Living meeting, during the service, I had a word of knowledge about a gallbladder. And I said, you know, anybody got something wrong? Nobody came up. And so then I remember before we left, I said, any takers on the gallbladder? And I couldn't get any takers on it. And just inside of me, the same place where I hear God about all kinds of things, I just had just the assurance that the whoever it is with the gallbladder doesn't know about it yet. And they're going to know about it. When it comes up, they get diagnosed, you just tell them it's going to be okay. Well, he goes to the doctor 2 days ago, and the doctor says, we think it's his gallbladder. He's 9 years old. I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't take him out. Tell me, what do you mean? And they test him, and they come back and said his gallbladder had been spasming. Well, when they said that, you know what? I has had such peace. Because the Holy Spirit had already told me somebody's going to show up with some kind of gallbladder problem and just know it's going to be okay. You know? You talk about, no, he'll prepare you ahead of time for things. Just because he's so good, just because he's like that, just because he loves us, and just as you take those steps, little steps, day after day, you think it ain't much, nothing, you know, like I said, nothing big happened. I mean, what happened last July when you were at church? You remember that really great service that we had last April? You know, I don't know. But a deposit was made. A deposit was made. You may not remember what did happen, but if you went without it for a long time, you could see the difference. You know, I could, if we had time, just put a microphone up here and say, come up here and tell me what a difference it's made. Because I know. I mean, I'm looking at people. You've made it through some things. When you had plenty of reasons not to, and lots of adversity, and lots of troubles, and maybe you got a call from the teacher and they said, you know, your kid's not going to make it, or maybe you got a call from the boss and he said, you're out of here and you've been looking for work, or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of things we face all the time, but something about just showing up, and it's not because you get a word from Pastor Matt after the service. Even though you might sometime, but it's just coming together with other believers, coming in the fellowship, receiving, being open to heaven, being open to God. Something happens, and something supernatural, something just of God. And it's not because of anything about us. It's not because of anything so special about anything except Jesus. And he's given gifts unto men, and he has instituted the local church as a place where we can assemble. You know, I got reports. I'm closing. I'll quit talking. But I got reports from a lot of Express meetings this month. Lots of people say it's the best Express meeting we've ever had. Lots of wonderful things happening in people's Express meetings. That's when people are getting together, praying for each other, exhorting each other. Getting together, like what it talks about here, breaking bread together, praying. Awesome things happen when we get together. Praise God. Praying for each other. There's just something. I think we have something really, really wonderful in each other. But, you know, you just sit home or you get out of the habit and you miss out. Praise God. We'll end right there. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for just the last few weeks and what you've been sharing with us and speaking to us. Father, I pray for all of us, for all those who are here tonight. It's kind of might be silly to be sharing a message about making church a habit on a Wednesday night, but I pray not just for the people that are here, but the people that come on Sundays every once in a while, just anybody who's part of Good News Church, Father, that we would all have a revelation that you would enlighten all of us concerning the value of coming together, the value of assembling, the value of in receiving an impartation from you so that we may be established. The value that we have in just coming together in a local church that we can be set in place and be prepared and equipped. We thank you for that tonight. Thank you for that. And Father, I pray for the church leadership and the staff of the church that we would be more effective in equipping. And we'd be more effective in ministry. We'd be better and increase and grow as ministers and better able to tap into what you have for us and what you want to do through us. We thank you for helping us with that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Well, see you.